This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. USAA Homeowners Insurance not only helps you cover your home, it also helps you cover your budget, lower your premium in a number of ways, like saving up to 10% when you bundle home and auto insurance, saving up to 15% if you've been claims-free for 5 years, regardless of your previous insurance provider, and scoring even more deals and discounts on things like home security, moving, and storage with the USAA Perks program. Tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Captain's Log 2259.55. I have traveled far and wide across the universe. I have been to countless galaxies and met fascinating beings of all kinds. And yet, nothing gets me jacked up like preparing for my fantasy football draft. When it comes to preparing for competition of such importance, I leave nothing to chance. The Ultimate Draft Kit from the Fantasy Footballers is the only tool you need to prevail. Trust me, I teleport to alien planets on the reg, and there is nothing better. Tiered rankings, video profiles, custom scoring support, and even a super sick mobile app. Set your destination for a fantasy football championship and engage to ultimatedraftkit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the podcast. Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Yes.
All my worst nightmares came true immediately. Yeah. Immediately. Mm. All the talk before the show was maybe the lungs are back. You know what I mean? Maybe I've got the ability to do the intro.
You took a special lozenge?
I thought I even did some like dry runs where like sound came out.
It was perfectly fine.
But clearly during the intro, there's an octave that I hit. That has been deleted. So Foot Clan, know that I'm not.
That was great.
I'm not trying to change the intro.
You're just not back to 100% yet.
The next time will be more terrifying.
Oh yeah, I mean tomorrow's show. Who knows what's going to come out? And the greatest part is as the intro.
So I have
music,
to try every day now.
Absolutely. As the intro music was going, Mike's slacking. Do it. And if you ever
you
wondered,
got me a little hyped.
If you ever wonder, do we like
edit the podcast?
Edit the podcast when we make mistakes? No, we drive the bus right over one another.
The only situation where the podcast gets edited over the last, this is show 1,262, is when Jason has to poop.
Hey, Mike has to poop sometimes and stop the show.
I've been known.
It's when either of these two guys has to poop. I've never had a poop stop. Brooks, have you ever had a poop stop?
No poop stop.
No,
Al back in the building. No poop stop.
No, I've run out before in the middle of a show.
Oh, yeah, because you can do that.
If we're talking about this, Brooks takes a potty break like every third show.
Yeah. Be right back, guys.
You mean before it begins?
No, I mean like during the show. We always get BRB, got a PP.
I don't know if it's every third show.
Yeah, every second.
I think this man, I think he controls his bowels a little bit better than that. Well, that's an introduction to an episode. Tuesday, August 9th, the Fantasy Footballers running back rankings on today's show. We have an interview with great friend of the show, Austin Eckler, running back for the Chargers. One of the players in the NFL that really appreciates and understands fantasy football's value, what it means to the game, unlike Bill Belichick, who, you know, I don't want to get actually mad at look, I understand players don't need to pay attention to it during their, like, they have a job to do.
Yeah.
It's to go play football, win games. Doesn't matter the stats. Go win the game. I respect that. That's how you should play. But I do take a small issue with any vitriol towards what is actually making your game grow.
Yeah.
So you may not care about it, but you should be able to appreciate how it's made the game grow, because it grows the fan base. You know, my almost 11-year-old son knows every player from every other team. He buys Justin Herbert shirts and Patrick Mahomes shirts. And, you know, it's just it amplifies the game. And Austin understands that.
So the thing, though, for Belichick is this isn't the first time that he has, like, made disparaging comments, not just about fantasy, but, like, he's kind of said the same thing about using analytics, and the Patriots are using analytics, and he disguises the name of like social media as, like, he doesn't know what's going on. He knows exactly what is going on. So those comments coming from him, I take
misdirection.
Take him with a grain of salt there.
Top 10 running back rankings on the show. Some news to talk about. UltimateDraftKit.com. Get in there now. Right now. Go check it out. The UDK Plus with the Draft Analyzer. We will break down your team. Strengths, weaknesses. What you can do to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Which fantasy footballer most connects with your team.
Ooh. Hope it's me.
Compared to our rankings, which are updating all the time in the Ultimate Draft Kit. A couple of other quick announcements. We will be choosing the Listener League winners very soon. No more submissions. It's over. But 1,000-plus incredible submissions. Thank you
yes.
so much for the time, effort. Jason is nodding his head because he feels the same way I do.
Yeah, I mean, when you get over 1,000 entries, you know, these aren't just like go to listenerleague.com and click I want in. These are people that did something to try to get into the league, and 1,000 of you out there sending them in, just thank you. Appreciate it. It's humbling.
And we do have a free
yes.
Discord server, which we have a community event tonight on the Discord server, some football trivia, and you can check that out. That's going to be 6:30 p.m. Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. And you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the Discord icon in the upper right corner, or go to discord.gg/fantasyfootballers.
It's going
to
be fun. Is Papa Josh running that?
Papa Josh is running that.
Okay.
And it's, like I said, the channel is free. So it's a great place to go.
I think
talk
you can win
people.
A free jersey, too.
You
tonight.
Can.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Way to be informed there, Al.
Just want the people to know what's at stake here.
Do you know what? Swag. Do you know what jersey we're giving away? Or to
oh,
keep that
know.
A mystery?
Please don't know.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Okay. I just want the people to be informed.
NFL professional offensive player of some sort?
It's a kicker.
Oh, no. Don't say that. We would never do that.
Well, I mean, if it was Justin Tucker.
Yeah, he's in a different category,
he
right?
He is. Yes, he is. With his new contract. Like, just who? I hate fantasy football kickers.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But Justin Tucker's the man.
Yeah.
Like, the dude is elite. That guy is winning football games.
It's about demeanor, though. Like, Justin Tucker.
He's yours. Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like, he's a big guy in a little body, but he, you know what I mean? He just thinks he's.
Well, and it's just his swag levels.
That's what I mean.
Off the chart.
Helps when you're the best of all time.
Yes.
All right. Let's jump into the news.
News and notes from around the league.
J.K. Dobbins has been activated off the PUP.
Okay.
We also got news, and I love the news. I don't love the news,
right,
but the
yes.
way it's worded, Ravens running back Gus Edwards is, quote, probably doubtful for week one, which,
yeah,
frankly, I think that works in reverse, right? Doubtful
oh,
to be doubtful to be probable as
oh,
well,
oh, yeah.
right?
Yeah. The thing about the word doubtful is probability is already included in the definition of doubtful, so probably being doubtful is weird. But this is really important news.
It's still early, month away.
It is early, but what happened a couple months ago was when we thought that the after the NFL draft, when the Ravens didn't do anything to address the position. I know they drafted Tyler Beatty, but he was literally their 11th player pick. They did not go hard after running back. You assume that the timeline, based on what the ACL injuries that were reported and the timeline of when they happened last year, you thought both backs would be healthy, ready to go for training camp. So when we heard that J.K. Dobbins wasn't, we started worrying, well, was it not a simple ACL? Turns out it wasn't. It was more complicated. There were ligaments involved. And, you know, now he's looking good, but Gus Edwards is well behind that. And they got injured the same week, so I'm starting to wonder if it's not just a straightforward ACL injury. And the depth chart is, you know, I drafted a lot of Gus Edwards in underdog a couple months ago, and whoops.
Yeah.
This news I hadn't seen till this morning, so we're still chasing details, but Darren Waller has remained out of practice and has not practiced since July 30th. We've got preseason week one a few days away. He obviously did not play in the Hall of Fame game. Only missed three practices so far, but head coach Josh McDaniels, no details given on the absence. So just something to be mindful of. I wouldn't overreact yet.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not saying that he is not dealing with an injury, but didn't we get reports a little bit ago that he's trying to get a new contract as well, the Walrus? So I don't know. Maybe that's affecting things as well as, you know, if only I had a bigger bag of money, my injury may heal up faster.
Jameis Winston's going to miss a few days. Won't play in the preseason opener due to a foot injury. Right now, the report is just they're going to use caution with him, and it's nothing to be seriously concerned about. What else do we have? Oh, this is big news, Jason. Why don't you break this news, because it broke your heart?
The right tackle, strong man Becton for the Jets. He is expected to miss significant time after suffering a knee injury. He will have surgery, could miss the whole year. The Jets' offensive line was ranked 13th by Pro Football Focus, which is not bad for where they have been the last couple of years going in. And so, you know, I'm a big Breece Hall believer.
Breece Lightning.
Breece Lightning. I love Breece Lightning, and I think he is great. I know they have depth at right tackle, so this shouldn't completely annihilate them, but there was hope with Becton moving to right tackle that would become a position of strength, and he is now gone. And I do know that the Jets have a very difficult opening schedule.
Yes,
and by opening,
do.
I mean like the first 2.5 months.
I was going to say the first 9 games are like a gauntlet for the Jets, which doesn't really seem fair.
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, kick people while they're down.
Part of that is being in a division that's got 3 very difficult opponents already. Also, you know, just got to let you know, Baker Mayfield has the inside track on the team's starting job.
Okay. Fingers crossed.
But Matt Ja Rule said the team won't name a starting quarterback till later.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You don't want your starting quarterback to practice with all of his time.
Well, you can't rush these things.
Keep the team guessing. You want that locker room to be kind of ambiguous.
You don't let your opponent know your next move.
Or your own team. Any other news, Brooksy?
No, sir.
Nothing new? You guys want to talk some running backs?
Let's go.
Running backs.
All right, we just got done with a couple of wide receiver rankings episodes. If you are curious where our consensus wide receiver rankings are at, we got through the top 20. You can also see them on the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Today is all about the running backs, our top 10 in half point per reception. No surprises at the top. Jonathan Taylor, Mike and Jason both have him at number 1. I've got him at number 2 behind CMC. I probably shouldn't. If I'm honest, you know, when you go out and we put every stat projection into the UDK and into these player rankings, and we go through and we project every carry for the team and every pass and every number, and that kind of, you know, we also have a risk rating in there, which talks about the risk of injury and the risk of that prediction coming true. And look, Jonathan Taylor, there's no comparison between the Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey risk rating. Taylor and McCaffrey, even if there was no injury history between them at all, Taylor would be a much lower risk simply due to being considerably younger than Christian McCaffrey.
And being the Hulk?
I've seen some pictures of him this offseason. I thought maybe they were an announcement to move him to linebacker. I mean, he is built. And so I say all that to say, seasons go right, I think McCaffrey ends up ahead of Jonathan Taylor. But Jonathan Taylor is much safer. And finished as the RB1 last year, 1,800 yards on the ground, 18 touchdowns, 40 receptions. When the team noticed what we know about Carson Wentz, when they recognized the inaccuracy that is now manifesting in Washington camp, they made a conscious effort to put the ball in Jonathan Taylor's hands over the back half of the year, and he dominated. Mm-hmm. He was unstoppable. He had 11 RB1 performances in a row, which is better than Christian McCaffrey's 2019 season, which he was the number one running back, had nine straight. It was better than Gurley's 2018 season. Todd Gurley was on fire that year, won a lot of people championships. I don't know what there is to say about Jonathan Taylor other than he is a lock for the number one or number two spot in every draft and is going to deliver.
Yeah, I mean, he's young. He's proven. He is behind a good offensive line. He has a quarterback upgrade, which can work in both directions, but I think it's a net neutral in the sense that Matt Ryan might pass the ball a little bit more to Jonathan Taylor on checkdowns. That's great. The offense could score more. That's great. Although the 89 red zone rushing attempts, the most of all time, part of that probably came because it was like, well, we've got Jonathan Taylor and we've got Carson Wentz, so let's give the ball to Jonathan Taylor. Now they might throw the ball a little bit more, have more success throwing the ball in the red zone. So there's nothing really negative to say to Jonathan Taylor. The one thing I would say, because a lot of our listeners, everything we do here, all the leagues we play in, the Mega Bowl league that's coming, our stats by default are half PPR, which is just the right format to play in. But a lot of people play in full PPR. If that's your league, all three of us have Christian McCaffrey as the consensus 101.
Yeah, just to, like, you know, get some analysis here on Jonathan Taylor of, like, there is a world where there is massive touchdown regression for Jonathan Taylor. Like,
that'd be pretty normal for an 18-touchdown year.
Right. Well, and just saying, like, he had 29 carries at the five or closer, which is outrageous. Like, that, he led the league last year. Number two was James Conner. But those 29 attempts only turned into 12 touchdowns. So, like, maybe that number goes up, but, like, just the natural way that football goes when you put up a massive outlier stat like this, that can come down. But I also – you're mentioning PPR, Jason. With Matt Ryan, I think there is a world where Jonathan Taylor – shocks us with how many passes that he actually catches, because you, like, look at, you know, this, it's a different player but same team. You have Nyheim Hines, right? 57 targets this year with Carson Wentz, 77 when it was Phillip Rivers. Matt Ryan is far more like Phillip Rivers than he is like Carson Wentz. So there is a chance that the targets go up for him.
All right, the number two running back for us, Christian McCaffrey.
No, oh, man.
It's been a bumpy road the last 2 years dealing with injury. When he's played, even in the midst of those absences, 10 total games the past 2 years. That's not a lot, but 7 top five finishes in those games. That's as many as Dalvin Cook had, and he wasn't hurt. Right now, I like what I'm hearing out of camp about Christian McCaffrey. Not just headlines of, you know, we all know he's good. That's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at the way they're treating him at camp. They're not letting him go 3 straight days of practice. They're giving him off days to recover. When he's out there, they're pushing him hard. They're talking about attacking with Christian McCaffrey, and he feels great. But I think they're trying to do some things in the preseason to just give him the opportunity to be available, which availability for Christian McCaffrey is production.
Yeah, I mean, that's all there is. Christian McCaffrey has never – been bad on the football field. If he is available, if he's playing football, he's going to be fantastic. The offense, I think, gets an upgrade with Baker Mayfield if he wins the job. Christian McCaffrey is someone I've said this on, you know, if you watch his video in the Ultimate Draft Kit, his, you know, breakdown of him as a player, he should be the 101 unless you're just scared of the risk. And I get that. You know, he's one of only 3 players last year in the games that he, you know, wasn't injured in to score on average over 20 fantasy points a game in half PPR. It was Jonathan Taylor and Derrick Henry and Christian McCaffrey. He's as good as it gets. He's game script proof. There's no situation down, up. There's no situation where he is not incredibly important to the offense. and he's so talented. And you're right, the train, what they've been doing in training camp, and I don't know if you've seen some of the videos recently, but it just reminds you, like, man, he's just got another level. He's got another gear to him. The way that he catches the ball is perfection. It's smooth. It's effortless, thoughtless. And so, I, you know, if you want to take Christian McCaffrey, honestly, if I'm at the 101 spot now, I know he is in half PPR my second-ranked player. I find myself more often taking Christian McCaffrey just because the upside is that he can catch 100 balls and be a great running back, and no one else has that.
Last year, Christian McCaffrey had a number one overall running back finish on the week and a number five overall finish on the week without a touchdown. Like, that's how ridiculous his usage is, especially in the passing game, that he can score 20-plus points on any week without scoring a touchdown. And there's not a lot of running backs that can do that. I mean, essentially none.
Yeah. I was going to say there's one.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler comes in at number three in our consensus rankings. He's 27 years old. I'm at three, Mike at three, Jason at four. Finished as the RB4 last year. Look, it was a great season. I mean, for Austin Eckler, we had him on the show last year, and we had wondered if he would get all the red zone opportunities. He managed to score 20 times in the red zone alone. He had over 300 opportunities. This was his biggest jump up in opportunities, and you know, the question marks are, do they try to take away some of that workload? And that's something we talked to him about on the interview later on the show today. But Eckler sitting here, do you have, like, is this the time when you get to this pick where you're afraid to make the selection because you've seen it for 1 year?
Yeah, I am afraid to make the selection. Ironically, I started a best ball league last night after talking to Austin Eckler. I was at the sixth spot. He was there. I felt compelled to take him. So I did. You know, I love his upside. We saw he was the running back two last year, if you didn't remember. You know, he was that good. But the touchdown regression is almost
About that. I said he was RB4, but that's where his ADP is. He was the two. Yes,
yeah, he was the second running back last year, because he amazingly, despite being a smaller framed guy and getting a massive amount of workload and being on the injury report pretty often, he only missed one game. This is a dude that wants to be out there, wants to be great for fantasy, and does whatever it takes. I love everything about a pass-catching running back. That's always the type that I want. On a great offense with a great quarterback who doesn't have phenomenal competition around him, and even though they drafted Isaiah Spiller, I still think all of those things apply to Austin Eckler. The only issue I have is that he's not getting 20 touchdowns. I think double digit is fine. You know, 10 touchdowns, a great year. But if you take away 10 touchdowns from him,
massive difference.
That is enormous. That's going to, you know, and the touchdown regression to the mean for Dalvin Cook on the other side is like, you know, he only had six. I think if both of these guys get 12, all of a sudden you're probably talking about Dalvin Cook ahead of Austin Eckler next year.
Maybe.
That's kind of my worry.
You had, like, back in 2019 when Eckler had, you know, the really big breakout season, he finishes the running back six on the year, and he did that with only 240 opportunities. He had 300 opportunities this year. So the guy is just, he is efficient.
It's a lot like Kamara.
Yeah. I mean, that was the season where he started off as the guy, and then Melvin Gordon came back and he had to split, but he is so good and so efficient in the passing game that it makes up for lack of touchdowns. In that year when he was running back six, he only had 11 touchdowns on the year. So I know that where you finish fluctuates with where the other running backs did in that particular year as well. But my point being, he doesn't have to score 20 touchdowns to still pay off at the running back three ADP. Because if you draft him at the three and he finishes top five or top six, I mean, you're still going to be pretty happy with that pick.
Yeah, I mean, you really – I don't want people to overstate the Isaiah Spiller threat. I think that's the thing we need to understand is he is a rookie. There are a lot of things that contributing as a rookie entails mentally in terms of being able to do pass protection or contribute. You know, you might be thrown into, like, special teams. And so
– and he fell in the draft. He's a fourth-round rookie. It wasn't like they – you know, they had opportunities to draft him higher if they wanted him. He fell a little bit, so –
and Justin Jackson's gone. Like, Justin Jackson was the most talented of the backups, options. Yeah. You know, Josh Kelly and Larry Roundtree are not going to threaten Austin Eckler. So stay tuned for our interview with Awesome Excellent.
Yes.
At the end of today's show. Quick break. Back with Derrick Henry.
This episode is brought to you by USAA Insurance. When you're a homeowner in the military community, peace of mind is priority. And USAA Homeowners Insurance is the award-winning service to give you just that. If you have to file a claim, the process is transparent and easy. You can do it all right in the USAA app. And replacement cost coverage comes standard. That means damaged items are repaired or replaced, even if they cost more today than they did when you bought them, which could put your wallet at ease to tap the banner or visit usaa.com/homeowners to learn more and get a quote. Restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by The Deal. The line between business and sports is getting blurrier by the day. To understand it all, check out The Deal, a podcast co-hosted by Yankees legend Alex Rodriguez. Every week, A-Rod and Bloomberg reporter Jason Kelly speak with big-time athletes, entertainers, and executives like Derek Jeter, Maria Sharapova, and more. The Deal takes you behind the scenes into the world of sports, business, media, and entertainment, and dives into the wins, losses, and lessons learned along the way. From Bloomberg Podcasts and Bloomberg Originals, listen to new episodes of The Deal on Spotify every Thursday. Derrick Henry.
The man. Yeti.
Oh, man.
Let's get into it. He's at 4 in our rankings, 5 for Mike and I, 3 for Jason. Let me ask a provocative question before we begin.
All right.
Was Derrick Henry a good pick last year?
I think you have to. I like it. I like what you did because I feel like you have to say yes, absolutely. I mean, you're talking about a player who, if you picked him, well, put it this way. I know that in three of, you know, the four main leagues that I consider my main leagues I play in, the champion winner had Derrick Henry on their roster. Now, obviously, he did not help them in the championship, but he sure as heck helped them get to the playoffs.
And who's the one that didn't?
Was it you, Andy?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I finished second, though.
Yeah.
And had Derrick Henry to start the year.
He was so good that you couldn't have gotten off to a bad start with Derrick Henry. You know, we just talked about how good Christian McCaffrey was. He was 20.1 half PPR points a game in the full healthy games. If you take out his injured games, Jonathan Taylor, even better, 20.8 fantasy points. Here you had Derrick Henry at 23 fantasy points per game, and that is including his last, you know, injury-plagued game. He was a man among boys. He was so much better than everyone in football not named Cooper Kupp, a true difference maker, and I am so terrified to draft him right now. He's my running back 3, statistically speaking, and I constantly pass him unless I'm at the, you know, he gets to pick 8, pick 9, where I feel comfortable because he's 28 years old, coming off of a foot injury, and I know he did rest it a good amount of time before coming back on that foot injury, which lowers the probability of a re-injury to only 10%, which is a great number, and he was already back plus an offseason. So he should be fully healthy, ready to go, and you don't bet against Derrick Henry. That's something I've learned over the last several years, but I am terrified. Is that dumb of me? Is that just being too risk-averse to worry about the age of injury?
Look, Mike, I'll ask you. If you bet against Derrick Henry last year, did you win or lose?
I think you could
take a victory lap if you bet against him last year. I mean, the whole argument preseason was eventually you break down. He broke down.
Yeah.
And that's never happened before.
Coming off of back-to-back season, so in 2019, over 300 attempts. 2020, 378 attempts. This past year, in 8 games, 219 attempts.
That's insanity.
I know he's the Yeti, but eventually human beings just your body.
Even Yetis.
Even Yetis, you know, mythological creatures.
Right.
Even they start to break down, and seeing these running backs get that level of work of just over and over and over and not just like, you know, catching a bunch of passes where he can take glancing blows. It's just so much punishment on his body.
Should probably draft him.
I get it. I'm locked in with Jason that yes, you should probably be drafting Derrick Henry. I admittedly am a coward when it comes to Derrick Henry, but when I'm in that ADP slot of, well, here we go, I'm lined up to get Henry, I go, I'll take Justin Jefferson or Cooper Kupp or Ja'Marr Chase, and I just move on.
What about the other running backs? You know, I brought up Dalvin Cook. Dalvin Cook, you know, one of the problems with Derrick Henry is that he doesn't catch the
ball. I have Dalvin ranked higher.
As much, and so, you know, whereas Dalvin Cook catches the ball, Austin Eckler obviously catches the ball a lot more. But are you taking those running backs over Derrick Henry because of the age and foot? I mean, are you drafting Derrick Henry over those other two guys?
What were the two?
Austin Eckler and Dalvin Cook.
It's really difficult. It's difficult because you look at the situation and you say, I have the potential to have the number one overall running back.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the equation for Derrick Henry. Like, I don't think Eckler can be the number one overall running back.
That's fair.
I don't know if Dalvin Cook can be the number one overall running back. And so if that's something that, like, you're shooting for the moon there, like Derrick Henry, part of what I'm thinking about with him is, will the Titans continue to be competitive without A.J. Brown? Now, their win total is at 9.5, so that says, yes, they'll be competitive. Can they execute this offense? Do you have trust in the coaching staff? Yes, they've always been successful. So then the question is when he's on the field, is he great? Well, all those other pieces say yes. So if I'm playing the injury game, I don't think it's much of a different gamble than Christian McCaffrey. I don't think it's any different in terms of just saying when he plays, he's probably going to be a top three running back. So I like giving my opponent that stick of dynamite, throwing it in their lap and saying, you sit there and they're worried that it's going to blow up on them because Derrick Henry just wins you a week.
Yeah, he does. The difference to me with McCaffrey and Derrick Henry, they're the injuries. Like, been hearing that McCaffrey is doing some very different things to get his body ready, some different training, you know, and we've heard those things before about different players, you know, but like a big man with a foot problem terrifies me. And because once your feet start to break down and you're too large for your feet, you don't recover.
Too large for your feet. No, I mean, it's not going to last forever. And eventually you'll enter an end of career Marshawn type of analysis where Marshawn wasn't going top five, top 10, but he was still contributing.
Right.
Like, I think Henry will contribute, but yeah, I mean, elite play, what he was doing, 16 touchdowns, 17 touchdowns. Last year was on pace for 20 touchdowns. So.
Look,
you don't want to be too large for your feet, as Mike said. Fantasy doctor.
If you're scared, go to church. If you're not, draft Derrick Henry.
I mean, I don't even know what our summation for that analysis really was.
The summation
I'm scared of
is,
his feet, man.
Is that Derrick Henry is awesome and was the best running back in football. If you are not afraid of his age and specific foot injury, then you should draft him. If you are scared of it, then go to church, I believe was our analysis. The one thing I will add is that, you know, he was getting targeted last year.
Yes.
On pace for 40 receptions or something.
Yeah, about that. So given the fact that A.J. Brown is gone,
yep,
and vacated targets often go to the running back, you could see Derrick Henry used still a little bit more in the passing game. Never to be a full pass catching back, but that would be nice for, you know, having him be a little bit more game script proof.
Dalvin Cook is 27 years old, comes in at number 5 on our consensus running back rankings. Mike and Jason, 4 and 5. I have him at 7. I don't even know if I realized that. That would probably mean I have Alvin Kamara a spot ahead of Dalvin Cook, which shocks me. But the stats do what the stats do. Dalvin Cook, maybe it's a little bitterness. Maybe it's because I needed like 6 points from him to win a championship in the final game of the year. And he couldn't give me 6 because what did I have? Kellen Mond?
Yes. Mond.
Yeah.
Kellen Mond.
Yeah. I was shaken, not stirred.
Oh.
Despite playing in only 13 games, 5th most carries for Dalvin Cook, 2nd most 15-yard runs. He came back. He wore the device. He went absolutely insane on Pittsburgh. That was a delight. But scoring 2 points in week 17, not a delight. Over the last 3 years, despite missing 2 games, 4 games, only Zeke has had more opportunities. So here's kind of what you can bank on, which is ironic with the whole conversation about McCaffrey and Henry. Look, Dalvin's going to miss games. He's going to miss a game or two. Something happens, and he goes down in a heap. And normally the injury's not as bad as you think it is, but then he misses a game or two. like, he is one of those players where, I don't know, if you want to take Madison with the last pick of your draft, or the second to last pick, at least you know you will have a starter for the 2, 3, 4 games he misses.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with Dalvin Cook is that he always gets a little bit banged up and misses a couple games, but he plays the majority of them, and that's pretty much what you can bank on for most running backs. His talent is exceptional. I think the offense of the Minnesota Vikings is one that I've tried to get a lot of pieces of. I think Christian Kirk is going to be better. I think
Who are you saying?
Captain Kirk.
Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins, thank you. is going to be better. The passing game, I think Dalvin Cook will be more involved in the passing game. He is still a stud running back. We forget, solely because of touchdowns, Dalvin Cook was the second running back drafted last year. It was like, oh, Christian McCaffrey and then Dalvin Cook, because he's been great forever. He's been a top five running back so many times, and here you have him as a guy that, I mean, he just had 6 touchdowns last year. If you look at his touchdown rate, you know, over the last couple of years, you're talking about a huge swing where he averaged a rushing touchdown every 19.4 carries the 2 seasons prior. And then last year, he averaged a touchdown every 41.5 carries. So positive regression for a player that we already know can score touchdowns in a good offense. I really like Dalvin Cook.
It was madness with carries inside the 5 for Dalvin. He had 15 carries inside the 5, very solid number. 3 touchdowns. So compare that to Eckler, who had 16 carries inside the 5, and that was 9 touchdowns. Damian Harris, 15 carries, just like Dalvin, 8 touchdowns. Like, that's more the range that you should expect, and they just some bad touchdown luck there for Dalvin Cook. So I think he bounces back and is an elite running back again.
Yeah, he's a tier lower for me due to the fact he will guaranteed miss games, because it's 5 consecutive years that he's missed significant work. And it feels a little different with Dalvin because it's pretty consistent. Kevin O'Connell coming in, I like that. Kirk Cousins has the occasional off game, which hurts the entire offense. But there's a lot to look forward to. You're getting a potential top 5 running back in Dalvin Cook. And that's where he's being drafted, at number 5. Alvin Kamara.
Mm-hmm.
I don't Super. Know if, do I have the drop?
Of course.
Kamario.
Maybe my cohorts in the back have the drop.
All right.
Thank you. Alvin Kamara. Is he still super? Finishes the RB8 last year.
Okay.
Being drafted as the RB10 this year. So by rankings, we think he's super compared to everybody else. Averaged the most touches of his career, was the least efficient he had ever been last year.
He's always been a high efficiency guy. I mean, in his career, he's averaged 5 yards a carry, and that's including this last year where he was down at 3.7 yards per carry. Now, some of that you can't blame him. They had a lot of offensive line injuries. They had a lot of quarterback injuries. And
just volume.
Yeah, the more volume you get, the harder it is to be super efficient with it. But you could also say, okay, he's getting older. They lost Terron Armstead on the offensive line. Is Jameis Winston really the salve, you know, to make him spectacular? Basically, is he losing a step or not? That's the question, I think. And obviously, he's not going to be the same without Drew Brees.
Yeah, that's the bigger question to me, is just what is Alvin with Winston? We haven't seen much of it. His entire career of excellence was under Drew Brees, and then last year they went through different quarterbacks. And so there's some risk. The suspension, not likely to happen this year, but it's still looming in some capacity. And then you don't know what the flow of this offense will be. For the first time in a while, you have some pass-catching options outside of Kamara with Chris Olave and Michael Thomas's return. And
Jarvis.
Yeah, and so I think we have some concerns that Kamara's passing, you know, pass-catching volume will match what it had been in previous years, which really was the crux of his value, where he was doing the Eckler thing, 200 carries, 80 receptions. That was just kind of like you print that up for Alvin Kamara every year. And so I think there's a little bit of suspicion in the fantasy world of whether that will happen again.
Yeah, but he pulled in 67 targets and he missed 4 games.
And no Sean Payton.
And so he was on pace for 87 targets had he played a full season. And that includes that weird mystery game where
he said 87 targets?
Yeah, that was his pace. That was his full season pace.
Yeah, that would bum me out.
I get it. That's not the Kamara that we're used to with Drew Brees, but that's still that's still a very legit target share.
87 is a very legit target share. Not great for what he's done historically, but then you add Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry, and Chris Olave.
Landry's looking great in camp.
So it's like he's not going to be the 80 reception guy again. That's just I don't think that's realistic to stat him down for that.
I agree. Because what didn't he hit like 81 receptions 3 straight years? Like receptions, not targets.
Yes. Yeah. He started his career 81, 81, 81, 83.
Yeah. I mean, I think a season that might be more in line, you know, it's the touchdowns. What's going to happen there? He's had those years where he's had 14, 16. He's had a year when he's had 4. Right in the middle of it, even with Drew Brees, and then 5, and then 4 last year. So a little bit more questions. I mean, all these guys, again, we're talking about the top 10 running backs. They're the top.
Yep.
They're the best.
Yep.
You want them. You want them all.
Yeah, I'm still in on Kamara. I want that target share. I want, looking at the depth chart, like Mark Ingram is the backup for Alvin Kamara, and like Ingram's fine. Okay, fine. He can play the role as a backup, but we've seen him now for multiple years of he doesn't have the juice to compete with Alvin Kamara at this point, and there's no one else on that roster that can. I mean, Dwayne Washington, Malcolm Brown, Tony James Jones Brooks Jr., whatever we call him on this podcast. Like, it's Alvin Kamara. He's going to be the guy, and he probably will be a little bit more efficient on the ground like he was last year, but he's going to get a massive amount of volume.
Yeah, and even though we've got him at the 6, don't draft him there because he does carry we expect as of this time that the suspension that will come for him will be next year, but that's not a guarantee. That could change. The legal proceedings 2 months from now could continue on as they are currently scheduled, and then he has a mid-season suspension. So there is risk. Let him drop to the 3rd round, draft him there, get a value.
Joe Mixon comes in at 7. Pretty polarizing player to rank right now. I'm at 4. Mike has him at 12. I really want to ask Mike some questions about that comparison, comparing him to Alvin Kamara, because, look, we know the Bengals' offense is going to be outstanding. You love that for a running back. You want them to be in the red zone. You want them to be scoring. And he finished as the running back 3 last year. So that was a proven commodity at the running back position from weeks 6 through 12, 23-plus fantasy points in 5 of 6 weeks, 3rd most carries, 5th most red zone touches, 4th most touchdowns. And much
and a coach,
like
a coach who doesn't mind inefficiently running the ball, you know,
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, he had 292 carries last year, which is wonderful. I think that Mixon is polarizing in part because we've hoped for this for years. And then last year you got it, but you got it later than when you drafted him, right? You started the year, you bought in, you got some great week 1, mm-hmm. then mediocrity for 4 weeks. And then he really got it going in a consistent fashion over the back half of the year and was an elite option for your fantasy team. So why the disparity between Mixon and Kamara? Is it proven commodity from the past? Is it the pass-catching volume, Mike?
For Kamara specifically, it would be, yeah, those things. That just, I know that Kamara is the guy, and I know that he's going to see, you know, over 60 targets for sure. And with Joe Mixon, like,
he's the guy.
He's the guy. And honestly, I talked about this on a recent show of it just comes down to me liking other running backs a little bit more. And Joe Mixon at 12 does feel very low. But when you're doing your rankings and your projections, there's always players. You're like, that guy's too low. And there's just, I can't artificially bump him up.
So you're saying you don't actively dislike Joe Mixon.
No.
You just actively like other players more. Now,
that is correct.
To both of you, can Joe Mixon finish in the top 3 this year?
No, I don't think so. I think, obviously, he finished as the running back 3 last year.
But had some absences, McCaffrey, no Henry.
Barring other people above him getting injured and him being healthy at the same time, I don't think that's in the cards. And the reason is because of the pass-catching work. He's not, as a running back, he's not Derrick Henry. He's not even Nick Chubb, this incredibly efficient superstar running back who's just you just can't stop him. And then in the passing game, he is more involved than a Derrick Henry or a, and he's capable, but they don't use him that way. He is not a game script proof back, and that's my worry with him. That's why you saw a lot of a stretch run of good games and some games where it was bad. In the Super Bowl, there's Samaje Perine out there because the way they give him rest is in passing situations, in the two-minute drill. They don't use him as the guy, and that's stupid, but that's the truth. And so that's my issue with Joe Mixon. I really like him. I've got him as my running back seven. I think their offensive line has improved. Their offense is great, and he's the dude, but he's not the full-time dude. He is the guy that they want to give breathers in passing work, and passing work is where fantasy points come quicker.
Their offensive line ended 2021 ranked 20th. It begins 2022 ranked 8th. In the NFL, which is nice. They made upgrades at guard and tackle. Najee Harris comes in at number 8. His consensus ranking by the three of us puts him two spots behind ADP. I got him at 12, Jason at 6, Mike at 9. He finished at RB4. Probably the player we get the most hate about disliking. I think it's what Mike said. I don't think any of us dislike Najee Harris. It's liking the potential upside of other running backs slightly more than Najee Harris, because last year, look, it was a bit of a, I mean, he was everything. He had 307 carries on the ground. He had 74 receptions, and that's not to that doesn't take away from Najee Harris. That's a point for what he's capable of doing, but it was also a byproduct of a noodle-armed retiring Big Ben, and you have question marks now. Mitchell Trubisky. Is it him? Is it a rookie over the second half of the year? So it's an expectation, I think, for those numbers to come down a little bit.
Yeah.
But for him to still be a top 10 running back.
Yeah, the bet on Najee is one, I think he's a very, very talented running back. I love the player. The volume will be there. Over 400 opportunities. Perhaps it comes down a little bit in the target department, but Mike Tomlin rolls with – one running back, that's how he does things, that's how he coaches, that's how he's done it for years and years and years, and it's not going to be any different moving forward. So the volume is safe. It's just, you know, in this range, because these are the best players, we're asking ourselves the question, can Najee finish again, or this year, could he be a top three guy? Can he finish in the top five? And it's hard to see him getting over that threshold, not by a ton, at all. I think he's still fine. If he ends up as your running back one, I think that's fine. He's going to be a good foundational fantasy football running back because of the volume. But that ceiling, I just don't have it there compared to the other guys.
Second lowest yards per carry ever among rookie running backs with 1,200-plus rushing yards. It really was a volume runner last year. Not a lot of big plays on the ground. Now, huge in the passing game. But, you know, he's awesome. He's a great running back, and he's built – look, there are only a few guys that are built to handle a workload. Najee's built to handle it. He didn't miss time, right? I mean, he missed zero games last year.
Yeah, he's awesome. I think he's a great player. He could catch the ball. He's built for the workload.
Yeah, right there.
I get a little choked up talking about Najee. He's a beautiful man. He's got a great smile. The thing with Najee for me is where I love him the most is in the passing game. That's where he excelled last year, and his targets are going to come down. He had 94 targets last year with Big Ben snapping the ball, getting rid of it as soon as possible. Deontay, Najee, the checkdowns, I he's still going to be involved. He'll have 70 targets, but if you lose 20 targets, you come down
a little bit.
You don't view the Steelers offense as one that's going to have the same scoring opportunities as the Bengals. That being said, if we put Najee and Joe Mixon right next to each other, you can make arguments for either one. Honestly, I would prefer Najee. That's how I have it ranked, because he is more game script proof. You look at the consistency of him, he might not go out there and have the number one overall fantasy finish, getting a 3-touchdown monster performance while their offense just decimates another team, but he didn't have quite that many games where he disappeared, because if they're down, he's getting checkdowns. If they're up, he's getting the ball. He is one of the very few full-time backs. He's just not on an offense with an offensive line that we are in love with right now.
That you trust as much. James Conner at number 9. I have him at 11, Jason at 12, Mike at 7. He finished at RB5 last year. I'm going to be transparent with you. I don't think he's going to be in my top 12 by the time the season starts.
Okay.
I am starting to question his ability to repeat what he did last year. I'm starting to believe that the team trusts Eno Benjamin more than we think they do. And you're talking about a season that had 18 touchdowns on the ground for an older James Conner, that I think that variable, because of how inefficient he was as a runner, it throws into question whether I think he can get back to that mark, that RB5 mark. I love the offense. We've made the argument for him, but I understand why he's being drafted at RB16 in the third round. It doesn't, like, there was a time this offseason where I was like, that's outlandish, that's ridiculous, that's absolutely insane. But he does possess injury risk.
Sure.
And I think part of managing that injury risk, Arizona is going to use a couple of other guys more often than we want them to. Now, not around the goal line. Like, he's going to have opportunities to score a lot of touchdowns. But I guess I don't want to overemphasize the departure of Chase Edmonds, and I don't want to underemphasize these other backs that may do a little bit of what you just talked about with Joe Mixon. I think some of that's going to happen in Arizona with Eno Benjamin on third down. Eno can be the P. Ryan, the Chris Evans from Cincinnati, but I'll leave you two to discuss Connor.
So those things are, they certainly could happen. What we have to go off, though, is last year when Chase Edmonds went out, and James Conner's usage went, you know, through the roof. We're talking from, you know, 14 opportunities a game to over 22 opportunities a game. Just, that's a sensational workload for fantasy. Eno was that guy. You had a month stretch here from weeks 10 to 14 where, or 10 through week 13, where Chase Edmonds was not involved, and Eno Benjamin's getting 7 opportunities a game. Like, last year, they really didn't use him. Maybe they trust him more.
Felt like more of a break glass emergency, yeah, Edmonds injury thing.
But yeah, maybe Eno has finally stepped up. Basically, the only thing you can say for Eno is, as a 7th-round pick, he has managed to stay on the team.
And, well, yeah, like, they added Darrell Williams too.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, most 7th-rounders, it's difficult to stay on a team for multiple years, and Eno has done that, so maybe they like him even more. But, like, James Conner, where he was awesome, was as a pass catcher. And these first 6 games for Arizona, you don't have the number one pass catching option with DeAndre Hopkins, who is suspended for PEDs. Like, Conner is great at that comparatively to the rest of the running backs on his team. I know Darrell Williams volumed his way there last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, but in my opinion, Conner is a much better option there. And then when they get to the goal line, Cliff Kingsbury's favorite play in the entire world is to run the ball up the middle. Rodney Hudson, their center,
coming back,
flirted with retirement, but he is coming back. He's not what he used to be, but he's still good enough, clearly, to get it done, where you had 15 rushing touchdowns for James Conner. And the volume may come down, but James Conner, to me, is very high probability to repeat double-digit touchdowns when you combine rushing and receiving. So high risk, very, very high risk player. I totally admit that, but I think at the end of the year, he's still a top 10 guy.
Yeah, with the Eno Benjamin stuff, I was looking for the quote. I couldn't find it. I read it. It was about a month ago. One of the other Arizona Cardinals players was talking about how Eno Benjamin is finally out of the doghouse this year. And I found that so interesting that it was like, oh, so this is a player admitting that this guy was in the doghouse last year. Cliff Kingsbury said it's like a completely different player coming in this season. He's been criticized for his work ethic, his film study, all of that stuff. And apparently whatever he's done this offseason, he's come ready to play. And the buzz has been real around here. The local guys, yeah. You know,
yeah, he's a lock for the backup.
We're from Arizona, and it does seem like it's Eno's job. I think that he will play most of the Chase Edmonds role, but not as much. So James Conner, to me, will be what James Conner was with Chase Edmonds plus a little bit this coming season. And to illustrate that, if you just take out the first 2 weeks where James Conner wasn't really the guy at all yet, the rest of the season he was the running back 5. So that is a huge chunk. That is plenty of games with Chase Edmonds, and I think he could, you know, I think he could repeat that because he is involved in the passing game. He is the clear goal line guy. He's on a high-powered offense, but he's got a good injury risk. So he's risky. Thankfully, he's dropping to the third round.
One stat that is worth mentioning, not just for Connor, but anybody in this category, but he had a league-leading 15 red zone touchdowns. And over the last decade, 43 different running backs that had double-digit red zone rushing touchdowns. Only five of those 43 repeated that number the next year. It's very difficult to do.
Yep.
Aaron Jones comes in at number 10, one of my favorite picks in the draft right now. I think the opportunity to get a value on Aaron Jones is very high. He's a late second-round pick. Packers need pass catchers, and Aaron Jones is a proven commodity in that department. You're going to get, you know, to me, I'd rather take Aaron Jones, no looming suspension, same amount of opportunities, more trustworthy quarterback. Give me Aaron Jones at his draft cost over Alvin Kamara. That's my take.
Sure.
I think he's just a very, very good, efficient runner. He's going to share time with A.J. Dillon, but they're going to share time together on the field as well.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the games that Devontae Adams has missed. You watch the target volume go up for Aaron Jones, who's probably the best offensive piece on this team outside of Aaron Rodgers. He is someone that is reliable for fantasy, reliable for the offense. He's been a top 12 running back the last 3 years, even with missing a couple games. His target total should go up. I know that he's probably going to cede a few more goal line opportunities and a few more carries to Aaron Jones
or
to A.J. Dillon. But Aaron Jones, to me, is one of my favorite picks. I mean, right now, he's at the 208. When you're getting a player like this who's been a top 12 running back 3 years in a row, who's the center piece of a great offense, who catches the ball, you know, he's still young enough to where I don't think he's lost anything. I love the Aaron Jones pick. I don't see much wrong with it. Other than he isn't, I mean, the reason he's being drafted where he's being drafted is because he's not a guy that's going to touch the ball 325-plus times.
The top 10 running backs, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey, Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris, James Conner, and Aaron Jones. We will be talking more running backs on tomorrow's show. Out of those 10, who are you most worried about busting?
Most worried about is Derrick Henry because of the cost. Like, James Conner may be more likely, but I get him in the third. I'm having to take Derrick Henry up top, and that one scares me.
Any of these guys that you would look to trade in a dynasty league with the window closing right now?
Oh, yes. When you have older running backs, you should. It's very difficult emotionally, but you should always be willing to trade. Like, Aaron Jones, he's almost 28. Seems like his contract is great, except the team could get out of it pretty easily after this year if they want to and they don't want to carry that cap.
Yeah, most of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Derrick Henry,
Dalvin Cook,
Christian McCaffrey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
try to get a haul where you get a younger stud running back and other assets.
But yet, none of those younger stud running backs are in the top 10.
Right, you go get DeAndre Swift plus
there
something,
you go.
And I think you'll be happy in a dynasty. Well,
yeah, potential omission here in the top 10. DeAndre Swift, we'll talk about him soon. But first, we need to talk to great friend of the show, one of our consistent guests.
Yeah.
And fantasy football lover, Austin Eckler.
You talking to me?
All right. The fantasy footballers are privileged to welcome back.
Yeah, baby.
Not good friend of the show, great friend of the show.
Three time.
Austin Eckler. How you doing, buddy?
Yo, what's good, fellas? Good to be back, man, for the three-peat.
That's right. Man, we had you on last year. You're talking about how much you appreciate the fantasy community, how much you were paying attention to it. You had the privilege of doing the Eckler's Edge show on Yahoo last year. You were even further entrenched into the fantasy community. As we kick this off, just tell me what your experience was diving in deeper last year.
I guess I can see it starting to play out every time I'm out. I think it's like 10-1 people come up to me and say I was on their fantasy team, other than people that are like, hey, I'm a big Chargers fan type of thing. So I see it playing out, and I see the appreciation of my appreciation of fantasy football starting to play out into the community, which was my goal from the start.
So 20 touchdowns didn't have anything to do with that either, right?
Yeah, you know, that always helps. Yeah, if I'm not only I'm on your team, but I'm trying to carry that thing as well. So yeah, nice. That definitely helps.
Yeah, it was great. We had you on last year. You were almost a my guy. We've got our my guy episode coming up here in a couple of weeks, and you were almost a my guy. But I asked you a question, and I said, when are you going to talk to the coaches about goal line work, getting using that red zone? And you said, and I quote, you know, the it's the coaches, there's players and there's coaches. Sometimes they want to put in a missile just to go through the pile. And so I did not make you a my guy, Austin. And then you go out and you score 20 red zone touchdowns. You ruined. I mean, so how
you
can I trust
us.
How can I trust anything you say now?
You're right, man. You're right. That's what's great about fantasy, man. Sometimes it's a roll of the dice, you know. You got to stick with your guys and you know, hope for the best.
So speaking of the incredible year, which congratulations, like you dominated on the field and, you know, for our fake football teams as well. Like, how is that running back room shaking up? We know you got what looked like it a real draft day steal with Isaiah Spiller there in the fourth round. He was a guy, I don't know how, if you get into draft Twitter or not, it's a crazy place, but they loved Isaiah Spiller and they were super stoked to see him drop to the Chargers. And just how is he coming along? What's that tandem looking like so far?
Yeah, man. You know, he's a young player, not just because he's a rookie, but he's also 20 years old. I think he was the youngest player in the draft. And so I can see that, just the maturity as far as just how he's going to have to learn. And it happens with every rookie, right, coming in and having to basically catch up to everyone else like myself that's been doing this for 5 years, talking the mental part really right now. So there's always that barrier as you're coming into the league and trying to learn. And so it kind of slows you down a little bit on the field because you're thinking a little bit more than you would like to be, which is definitely going to impair your play. So right now it's still early. I haven't seen anything live yet, but as far as right now, he's been really receptive to the information, asking good questions. And so that's where I want to see him start. I don't know his impact on special teams yet, which I know that'll be a big part of his role as a rookie, especially coming in. So there's still a lot to play out, but I still think that, you know, he's in the right spot as far as learning, understanding. Now it's just a matter of fact, seeing in these preseason games if he can actually apply it to a real game situation.
You've got a lot of continuity on the team coming from last year. You've added some great pieces, but for the most part, you know, the offense is intact. What's different this year in training camp so far that you've you know, is there anything, if the feel or kind of the goals of the team, is there anything that has felt different this year, or is it just more like we're back at it again, or big changes?
I mean, we're definitely back at it again, but there's something to build on. You know, you say that continuity, we have something to build on with a lot of the same pieces coming back. And I think the most important part of that is the Joe Lombardi and Justin Herbert, you know, piece, you know, them two being together for the second year. You know, Justin's only going into his third year. So him as a quarterback, you know, from my experience, I was with Phillip for 3 years, who'd been there for 17 years, who's calling plays, changing protections, doing all this stuff. He's running the show, to a guy that's just starting to figure it out and trying to be able to be into that chief role. So I know where he can get to, and I know where he's at right now. And so him having another year and having to grow on that is going to make us a better team. So I would say that's the biggest change from last year to this year, is 1 year together, and especially the growth of the quarterback spot that we've been seeing. And we know how special he is. And now we have the pieces that were around him yet last year that are back. And so we're also going to be making plays, and now he's going to be even smarter with his game as he continues to get better. So I feel like our offense is just going to be better because we're going to be more consistent.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it out there. You've got two great wide receivers on the team, obviously. I mean, a bunch of them. But Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, unbelievable. I want to know, you as a fantasy player, the way that you play. Obviously, Mike Williams has been huge, monstrous games. Keenan Allen, the more consistent. If you were picking the way that you play in a half PPR league, which one are you taking first?
Keenan, for sure.
Oh, all right, okay. All right.
For sure. This man's going to get 100 catches. Are you kidding me?
And you got Joshua Palmer.
Yeah.
Year two, a lot of buzz. Jalen Guyton. Those guys, more weapons for Justin Herbert in this offense.
Man. Josh has looked really good, man, in camp. You know, it's just one of those situations where we do have Mike and Keenan that are the main guys. But, like, man, if Josh is, you know, continuing to rise, I can see him, you know, getting a spot somewhere on a roster as a number one sometime. Like, he's really turning it on.
And there's a lot of firepower in the division overall. So you're probably going to have some big time games needing a lot of points on the board with the quarterbacks and the wideouts in that division. Talk about your new tight end, Gerald Everett, arriving on the roster.
Yeah. Gerald Everett coming in. Yeah. He's, I love him, man, because he likes to talk. He likes, and it's not like trash talk or anything like that, but he just loves to like get to know people, just talk to you like in the locker room. He's a good locker room guy. And so that's what I look forward to, new guys just coming in general. Like, hey, are you going to be a good teammate? And so him coming in and just being a guy that he was the one who introduced himself to me, coming in, talking, hey, respect the game, love it. Like, I love that. All right, we can build off of that. He's not, you know, just to himself, like thinks he's everything. So I like that part of it. And then actually on the game, we actually had our first scrimmage yesterday and he was making some plays yesterday. So I love to see that. I love to see how elusive he is for being a tight end. You know, tight end, I feel like, aren't really the most athletic, more so technical. And, you know, Gerald has definitely got some elusiveness to him. So I like to see that. And just, it's another weapon for Justin too. Justin was throwing the ball a few times yesterday, was making plays. So like, man, if we can continue that and he continues to catch those balls, like, I mean, you have to guard everyone on the field because everyone has playmaking ability. So it's looking good so far.
That's awesome. Yeah, the weapons. There are many.
Yeah, many, many.
There are many weapons. I want to circle back to you. This is a fantasy show. Biggest workload of your career last year. Delivered for everybody. You know, over 200 carries, 70 receptions. Is that your wheelhouse? Is that where you want to be? I mean, I know that I guess most running backs are going to say, hey, give me the ball every single play. But when it comes to keeping your body fresh and staying healthy and all of those components, is that what you're aiming for this year? Or do you think the staff is going to try to take a little bit of that away?
I think it's my job. It's kind of both. It's kind of both.
Yeah.
But I think it's my job to make myself as valuable as possible on the field, right? That's the efficiency, you know, making all the plays, doing all that. And that is my mindset. Like, I want to be that person. And so if I'm able to do that and I get to a certain level where it's like, man, we want to have Austin on the field all the time, I could see my load continue to be really high. You know, if they're like, oh, like we feel like, okay, there's might be a drop off, right? Or we don't feel like it's as consistent when Austin's not in the game, right? That's my job to make that situation. I'm trying to be the best on the damn team on the NFL. And so at the same time, I also understand that I want to continue to play for a few more years. So I also want the guys in the room to step up. So that's like, man, we want to get Joshua Kelly some reps because he's doing his thing too. And we like what he brings to the table. So from a personal individual standpoint, I basically am trying to be the best that I can that makes Austin like, hey, we want him on the field the entire time. But as a team aspect, I want the other guys in the room to step up. So they're like, hey, we want to see these guys take some drives here and there too, because they are good as well. You know?
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You have to answer one question for me. As an elite running back in the NFL, fantasy players, we watch the game, we see someone break off a big run, and then they get the fantasy football players, their worst nightmare. They get the one play where they get the blow. They get the break, and somebody else comes in for the next play. The question I have for you, Austin, it's very simple. Do you need that break or not?
Look, man, but we're out there, and you have a big run where you made a guy miss and you're exerting 100% of your energy for more than like 6 seconds, you definitely need a break.
All right.
You do, unfortunately. Like, and our team, we're different too. We might rip off a big run or pass and we'll get up to the ball and run one right away because we're trying to take advantage of that
there
and say
go.
We're in better shape than you. So
there
we're
go.
All going to be tired after that. So
I love
that's what we did a lot last year. But
we've seen the shirtless pictures. We know. We know you're very in shape.
Yeah, all right.
That leads me into the next guy I want to talk about. I want to talk about Coach Staley. Does he know, or like, is he aware of, like, he is becoming a folklore hero among fantasy football players, among Twitter, because there is finally someone who is in control of a football team that's looking at numbers going, you know what? We should probably go for it on fourth down a little bit more. Like, is he aware the groundswell of support that he is already receiving from the community?
I don't really think he cares. But he'll take it. I mean, he'll take it. You know, he's not going to turn that away. You know, he's human too. He feels the emotions of the crowd and things like that. But
you guys like it too, right? I'm sure you like the aggressive.
There's a love hate relationship. Let's just say that.
Okay. All right.
Oh no, you're trying to punt.
No. I'm not saying
Austin Eckler wants to punt. Is that what we're taking away from it?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not giving you that sound bite.
No. Okay.
No, I'm saying it's like a. It's a love hate as far as like for offense. I feel like we love it because it's like, hey, this guy is trusting us. So we do have the players to get it done. And statistically, it's like when you're short yardage situations, like, okay, yeah, you can probably get this if you have another down. And then it's just when you don't get it, you start to stir up some guys on the team that aren't the biggest fans of it, right? And then it's very divided.
The trust the defense crew, right? Yeah.
Right.
Well, look, we wish you the very best heading into the new year. Appreciate your time on the show again today. And I know every fantasy player will be excited to see what the Chargers have in store for this upcoming year. I know we are. And again, thank you for joining us. Wish you the best.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for having me on, boys. I appreciate it.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the conversation with Awesome Excellent. But we'll be back. Another episode tomorrow. Make sure you check out the community at jointhefoot.com. The draft kit is ultimatedraftkit.com. It's going to be a fun ride in 2022. Thank you for joining us. Talk soon.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.